Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we'll recap what was a very fun Showtime pay-per-view, which saw David Benavidez come out on top. He outpoints Caleb Plant in a great fight. The entire card was good. We will recap that all. Also, Jose Ramirez picked up a win over Richard Comey. Will he get some of the guys at 140? Is he ready to fight for a title? We will break it all down. Let's go. What is up, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. I am Dan Canovio. He is the former world champion, Christopher Algieri. Does anyone call you Christopher?
My mother.
Is that when you're in trouble? Christopher?
Basically.
You know, me and Ronnie were watching at the office. We were putting together the John Boy Combine, which by the time this episode airs, should be out on the JM Entertainment page.
Yes.
Three episodes of outstanding content.
Wow. But we got three episodes out of it.
We got two combine drills, two episodes, and then the fight scene, which we cannot give away. Who will be fighting Chris Algieri? But me and Ronnie were editing it on Friday. We were looking for some training footage of you, and we brought up 24/7 Pacquiao Algieri. Right, they're at the house, and then your dad walks in, and you're like making breakfast. Like, I don't think Ronnie has seen you in that light. He's only seen you as like this Chris Algieri. He hasn't seen in his prime. Well, you're still in your prime, but in his prime, fighting Pacquiao, and you know, Ronnie was taken back.
Yeah, he's like, look at this guy, Jesus.
Yeah, but I thought of your like Christopher. I think someone called you that on the episode. I was like, I've never once referred to him as that.
Yeah, but by my mom, or you know, my nickname was Kiki when I was a kid, so I get that a little bit. But yeah, now Christopher is like Christopher, like
right,
get like, your attention
exactly. If I hear Daniel, it means I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
that's where I am right now.
I'm 40 years old. It's the same, and it doesn't change.
Yeah, I'm at my parents' house right now as I record this, and I feel like I got yelled at a few times. This is where I watched the pay per view last night.
Nice.
On Saturday night, Benavidez Plant was the main event. Benavidez comes out on top, a unanimous decision. But the first half of the fight played out exactly how we thought it was going to play out. I think this whole fight played out like a lot of media members, fans, all kind of predicted. And that was Plant is going to come out. He's going to come out moving. He's going to come out boxing. Benavidez is not going to be able to find him. I didn't think it was as drastic as it was. I didn't think Benavidez would take that long to warm up, but damn, did he ever warm up. Round 6 through 12, Benavidez outlanded Plant by a wide margin, 161 to 46 over the second half of the fight. Benavidez only landed 51 punches in the first half of the fight, but Benavidez gets the win in a really good fight, back and forth for the first half, and then just grueling stuff from the second half. Were you surprised by how this fight played out?
No, I mean, like you said, it was exactly the way that a lot of the media pundits thought it was going to happen. It's what we talked about on this show many times. We knew it was going to be Plant early. I thought at times he was going to make Benavidez look bad in the beginning. The hand speed, the foot speed, the movement, the lateral movement, but he was going to start to fade in the middle rounds, and then Plant was going to take over. I thought Plant was going to get him out of there, but honestly, without all that
Benavidez
holding,
was going to get him out of there?
I'm sorry. Benavidez would have got him out of there. I'm sorry. Thank you. With all that holding, though, that was allowed in that fight, I think he would have gotten stopped. I don't think there's any question. He would have gotten stopped in that fight if not for all the allowed holding for Caleb Plant. It was insane. It was beyond just survival. It was just snubbing the action, which is when the ref really should be, you know, stepping in, whether you think the guy is excessively clinching or not. Like, allow the action to happen. And Benavidez, I mean, he'll fight you any way possible. And I mean, he made it work. He tracked him down. It was definitely similar to what I expected. We'd even said if it did go the distance, I could have seen Plant banking enough early rounds. The only way I could see Plant winning was he banks enough early rounds and he literally crawls over the finish because he's getting beat the hell up by David Benavidez at the end of the fight. I don't think there's any way that Benavidez does not beat the hell out of him at the end of the fight in any scenario. It's just surprising that Plant made it, but I think he made it because of the holding. So it's, you know, it is what it is.
Unfortunately, we have to talk about a referee. Kenny Bayless, a guy that has been in there for huge fights, 800 plus fights that he has refereed, hundreds of title fights. He had a bad night. He had a really bad night, and it was glaring. I mean, so much holding. And listen, Caleb Plant, like, that was his game plan. I don't fault Plant for trying that. You would know this, Chris, way better than I would. You try to get away with as much as you are allowed. Always. And Kenny Bayless was allowing holding. He wasn't even looking at Plant. He was only looking at Benavidez. He wasn't, like, seeing who was instigating these blatant holds. The telecast, Al Bernstein was just like, this is some of the most blatant holding I've ever seen. And every time you see the hold, you look at the screen and Bayless is only looking at Benavidez. And he would only catch the last part of the exchange of the hold. And that is Benavidez pushing with his, like, you know, lacing him, which he did a few times. And Benavidez was the one getting the warnings and getting, you know, what's going on here. And it was very, very frustrating to watch, but it did keep it prolonged the fight. Because in the eighth round, Benavidez, well, from the sixth round on, Benavidez was starting to land more at ease. And you started to see physically moving Plant. You saw Plant slowing down. And that eighth round, 43 punches landed by Benavidez. That is the most ever on Caleb Plant. And I thought the fight was going to end right there. That was it. But the holding and the excessive holding prolonged it. I don't know if that's a good thing for Caleb Plant because he took some serious punishment from the seventh round on. I don't know how he was standing. Props to Caleb Plant. I mean, this guy may have lost the fight, but damn, did he win over the respect of the boxing community. This guy is just blood and guts, and he's just a joy to watch.
Stop.
What?
Stop that. What? Everybody, I see people are saying, like, oh, look at this guy. It was the holding. If he didn't hold, he would have got stopped.
He was still standing, though, the final four rounds. He was taking shots.
I'm not knocking him for not being tough, but, like, people are, like, touting him because, oh, I can't believe he made it. And it was because of the hold. Yeah, he's super tough, and he never got dropped. But, you know, like, it is what it is. But, yeah, it was the holding. I mean, otherwise, he gets stopped. It wasn't like he got, you know, knocked lights out. But, like, I don't know. I see a lot of people online saying, like, oh, you know, he's so tough. Like, yeah, okay. And we're all tough. We're fighters. Like, we step in the ring. He's at the highest level. You know, like, yeah, of course he's tough. But, like, come on. Touting him as anything beyond just being tough, we need to stop. Because he was going to get stopped. He should have got stopped.
Usually it's like, I feel like I'm the one that would have your stance and you as the fighter would say, hey, come on.
No. I mean, listen,
keeping it real.
Let's call it what it is. You know, without the holding, he gets stopped.
Yes, he does. But the fact that he was able to stand up still those final three rounds. Yeah, he lost. I mean, but I feel like this guy gets a lot of flack. I think it's because of he's overconfident. He rubs some people the wrong way. But I think that will kind of end now because I think he really, he lost the fight, but he stood up to some big shots and he made it to the final bell. But there was a lot of holding involved.
I think I was listening to David Benavidez afterwards. And apparently he went up the plant as well as watching some interviews. And I think their beef is squashed and rightfully so. I think both men should be very respected in the sport. They're two of the top five super middleweights in the world. Caleb Plant still is, I believe. I think he's a fantastic fighter. He even showed up, you know, that night, but you know, last night, but it's just, you know, it was too little. Benavidez is the Mexican monster. I love when that guy fights. I really enjoy watching his fights. I mean, the nonstop pressure, especially in the second half of the fight, he slow builds. He's just like a slow burn. He's just going to beat you up and he pours it on. I love late round stoppages too. Guys who are able to carry their power late and break you down. So stylistically, he's one of my favorite kinds of fighters to watch.
You know, I feel like that was opening night for us. That was fight season. Boxing is back in a very big way. But you know what also is back, Chris? Baseball. America's pastime. Step up to the plate. The season opener action with DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top rated sportsbook apps. Right now, new customers can place $5 pregame money line bet and get $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Talk about hitting it out of the park, Chris. That's a home run. Plus, everyone can get in on Major League action with no sweat bet from DraftKings. Opt in for your first bet. Doesn't win. Don't sweat it. You'll get a bonus bet up to $10. Our Yankees are in action this week. Major League Baseball is back playing the San Francisco Giants for opening day. I'm going to put some money down on Aaron Judge hitting a home run on opening day and the Yankees winning the ball game. I'm red hot with my bets. Won another parlay last night. I had Benavidez plant over 9.5 rounds, and I had Jesus Ramos beating Joey Spencer. So you might want to take my picks even on baseball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code IBL. New customers can bet just $5 on any pregame money line and get $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code IBL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Back to David Benavidez.
You may want to take your baseball bets over your boxing bets, actually.
I'm red hot with the boxing.
You red hot for now.
I've been red hot for 8 weeks.
We just got into boxing season, so we'll see how you we'll see if you can carry it.
All right, I'm 1-0 in opening day. I'm just happy to
you're
win.
Your staying power in this world is not that good in this boxing betting lane.
No, listen, I thought I was in deep doo doo with this over. I took over 9.5.
I did too, because I put a good 9.
And you took 9, which was, I was like, oh, damn, Algeria again, Nostradamus. Because in the 8th round, 43-8, I was like, damn, he barely made it to the 9th plant. And I was like, all right, he just got us to survive 1.5 minutes.
Kenny Bayless stole that from me. He stole that victory from me.
And he gave it to me. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Kenny Bayless, today.
He stole it from me and handed it to you, and now you won.
Thanks,
you
Kenny. Really appreciate you. You're the man. But back to Benavidez. And like, I feel like the Showtime crew was – they were kind of hard on him because he got off to a slow start. Didn't throw as many punches as he usually does. Averaged 46 punches around. He came in averaging 67. He took a while to warm up. And I think it was because something that we spoke about in the pre-fight show was the temperament and him maybe overtraining, him being extra hyped up, him being extra personal with his grudge match. And also Caleb Plant having a pretty good game plan in there, sticking and moving. I was a little surprised by how Benavidez came out. I think some people are now saying, oh, wait a second, I think Canelo could potentially beat him. I more cemented that Canelo could beat him. It was a slow start from Benavidez, but let's be honest. The guy stepped it up. Maybe we shouldn't just always look at the past performances and look at what's happening inside of the ring. Yeah, he didn't have a good 4 or 5 rounds early on, and he wasn't putting combination punches together. But the punches he was landing, even though they were two shots, were physically hurting Plant. And by the 6th, 7th round, it was in total control. This guy is a freak. He can win any type of fight.
Yeah, I think it was tactical on the side of Benavidez in terms of starting slow the way he did. Because Plant starts fast. We know that. He comes out, he's sharp. He's super sharp in the beginning of a fight. He moves really well. He fires from his movement really well. He does have enough. He has enough pop, especially in those early rounds, that he's going to get your respect. So I think Plant was just being smart, being cautious early. He knew that Plant was going to get tired. He knew he was able to close the distance. He knew that pressure was going to catch up to him, and ultimately did. If you remember the faces after the fight, Benavidez didn't even look like he was in a fight.
Right.
A lot of the punches that Caleb Plant was throwing, if you really look, he wasn't turning those shots over. He was just letting those hands go. It was a lot of like double jabbing, high, low, body, coming back upstairs. And it was just like, it was a lot of touching punches, especially on the body and whatnot. Plant was actually digging much harder later in the fight to survive than he was in the early on when he was actually winning the rounds. I think that was a mistake by Plant. I think he was saving his gas tank for later on, which I don't think was smart, because I think he actually could have put some damage on Benavidez. Benavidez is super hittable. He gets hit. He gets cracked with shots, and he showed that again last night. But if you really go back and you look at the punches that Benavidez that Plant was throwing early on, they were shoe shines. He was boom, 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 and he was controlling the action, sure, but he couldn't keep that up. Later on, he was digging hard body shots.
Yeah, to survival
keep
mode.
Yeah, keep Benavidez off him. I think if Plant went and switched his strategy a little bit, I think he would have had more success. Probably would have got stopped anyway, but probably would have had more success and actually done some damage to Benavidez. But Benavidez, I think, was super smart. Well, I don't think it was so much starting slow. I think he was just starting very tactical, which, like you had mentioned, like, everything leading up to this, the grudge match, the way he was acting at the press conferences, it was full hard charge. And then when the fight came, he settled in and fought a smart fight. I was impressed. I was impressed with that strategy, even starting slow. So people who are saying, you know, giving him trash on whatever, on the telecast, I think they're wrong. I think Benavidez fought a very, very smart fight.
What would you give him an overall grade for that fight against Plant?
I mean, in terms of who he has in front of him, you got to keep that in mind too. But dude, I'm not at all bad-mouthing Plant. I think he's an excellent fighter, and I think he fought really well. And I think, he is top five super middleweight in the world still. Like mm-hmm. right now, like he's still up there. So, I mean, I'm a harsh critic. I'm going to go B plus.
That's not bad. I agree B plus. I think early on, he was being tactical, but I think that the scope of the fight and the grudge mm-hmm. match and all that kind of played a role in his slowish start and also being tactical. Like you said, I thought he could have put some combinations better, together better. Did get hit a few times. B plus is not a bad grade. I think he would even agree with that. He's pretty much a perfectionist. Every time you hear him after some of these big wins he's had, he said pretty much the same thing. All right, so everyone is now looking forward to a fight that we all want to see. David Benavidez, Canelo Alvarez. I believe this is one of the biggest fights that you can make in the sport right now. The fans want it. The media members want it. David Benavidez wants it. Does Canelo Alvarez want it? What you saw from David Benavidez in the ring against Caleb Plant, does he have a shot against Canelo Alvarez?
He's always had a shot against Canelo Alvarez. That's never been a question in my mind. I have been saying that I do believe Benavidez will beat Canelo, but I don't know. I've been, until the day of the fight, I'm a flip-flopper. Sorry, guys. I'm a flip-flopper. Right? As I get closer to fights, certain things come in because there's just so many data points to analyze when you're looking at a fight, and so many different things can happen, especially in close fights. So I'll change a lot, but like I think this fight actually happens now. I believe that, like even what you said, I mean, there's paths to victory for Canelo, and there's paths that actually Canelo could probably make it easy. So I think the fight's going to happen now. I think it might happen as early as September. I hope so. And I've been saying, I think tactically, strategically for the scope of Canelo's career, it would be smart to fight Benavidez now rather than later. Benavidez himself even mentioned the Caleb Plant he beat last night was better than the Caleb Plant that Canelo beat because he learned from the Canelo fight. He learned from the experience. He learned from the buildup. He learned from the training camp. So even Benavidez, that's kind of like a hint to me that he hasn't had those big fight experiences. So there's a little bit of lacking in terms of even his self-confidence in terms of what he is, or just awareness of what he is going into that kind of fight. So as the career of Benavidez goes deeper and deeper and he gets more experience and more big fights and more training camps, I think he's going to become a lot more dangerous guy. So Canelo should take the young lion out early, like Trinidad used to do with David Reed and Fernando Vargas. You get these guys young, like Mayweather did to Canelo.
Yep.
Get them when they're younger before they really progress, and then you have that name on your record forever. I think Canelo beats David Benavidez. Whew. I mean, another feather in the cap for the career of Canelo, and that's a huge win, especially because I think David Benavidez is going to be a monster for years to come.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think Canelo should get him now before he gets any better. Before he gets more experience on the big stage, just like Mayweather did with Canelo in 2013. That fight was still huge because of what Canelo was at that point. He was a superstar even at that young age, but he was not anything what we saw in the subsequent years, Canelo Alvarez and his performance. Unbelievable move by Mayweather to take that fight when he did and pretty much shut out Canelo. Canelo should do the same to Benavidez. Not saying that Benavidez could one day be a Canelo Alvarez, but he's only going to get better. People forget that he's only 25, 26 years old.
Crazy.
I mean, and this was his first fight with a lot, the whole boxing world fixated on it. Usually his fights are against no hopers. And I thought that played a role. And I thought that definitely, like, you saw it on Benavidez, overtraining and all that. I think Canelo would be very smart to take this fight next. Will he do it? Remains to be seen. The B-ball rematch is pretty much the only other thing out there other than another injury or something. But September, it's either going to be B-ball or it's going to be Benavidez. I think the Benavidez fight, in terms of business-wise, is way bigger than the B-ball fight. Way bigger, better. This is a commercial fight here in the U.S., Showtime pay-per-view, whatever. It is a big fight at the gate, and it is a more winnable fight for Canelo Alvarez. After that performance from Benavidez, B+, we both agreed on, still a good performance. I think Canelo can beat him. I think that Benavidez, towards the end of the fight, wasn't putting a combination together. He was gassed. Like you said, is
getting hit.
Getting hit a lot. Too. Not putting together. If he can throw 46 punches around, if Canelo can get Benavidez to that would be his output, then I think Canelo's in that fight. I think it's a much more winnable fight for Canelo against Benavidez than it is for Bebo.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I think we are going to get the fight. I think it's going to happen. I think it makes the most sense. I think it's a fight. And I it's really going to come down to how Canelo feels in May with the John Ryder fight. You know, he's working out the kinks of the wrist. I think after that, once he gets past the hand surgery, the wrist gets a win, has a good performance, I think then he's going to look for the biggest fights possible. He doesn't want little fights either. Canelo, listen, Canelo he wants the biggest fights possible. He's a superstar for a reason. Mm-hmm. I really think that he's going to look at Benavidez, especially after this performance, and be like, all right, you know what? Let's go. This is the biggest fight that's out there right now for me. I know he's got a hard on for this Bivol rematch. I don't like that fight for a number of reasons. It just doesn't sell the same way either. Like you said, business sense, it makes way more sense. The Benavidez fight is humongous. Dude,
I think it's the biggest fight you can make in boxing now. Now that Fury is blown up and Ryan and Tank is happening. Some of these other heavyweight fights aren't happening yet. Canelo Benavidez is numero uno.
Yep, massive fight. So I think it happens. I'm being optimistic, CA, which never happened. I'm being optimistic, Christopher. So when I'm optimistic, I'm optimistic, Christopher, about Canelo and Benavidez actually happening.
You know, it's funny because now we're looking at Canelo through this different scope after the loss to Bivol. Not the best performance from Golovkin. Everyone was expecting a knockout in that fight, and there are now questions about Canelo. There for the first time in years. We're questioning if he's on the back nine of his career. And, you know, he has an ego, and he probably wants to stop those questions. He takes on Benavidez and beats him. This is like you just said, like, wow, that's a big win. That's a guy in his prime. And then Canelo's right back on top. So I think that's another interesting storyline in a potential Canelo-Benavidez fight.
And also, I think it's bigger. If he comes back and he beats Bivol, cool. Legacy wise, that's great. You got that back. You know, you got that loss back. But I think in terms of the landscape of the division, I think that Benavidez win is even bigger. Like you said, it's like whew, that's a fight that really matters. It's in the weight class, and yeah, I think the guy is going to be around for a very long time. I think he's going to be a world champion in multiple weight classes as well. I mean, I see him at 68. I see him at 75.
I love him at 75.
Oh, dude,
it's just like a new player at the division with the vision that we like that has like five. You know, good 5-6 good competitors, and add Benavidez to that mix. Woo.
Bivol beats him too, by the way.
I want to see that fight.
Bivol's just such, he's such a tough style. And he's so disciplined. I think Bivol's gonna lose to age. I don't think he's gonna lose to anyone, you know, while he's still in his prime.
I think Canelo is going to be asked a ton about Benavidez in the lead up the Ryder fight because, you know, everyone's looking at this Ryder fight as a tune up. So no one's going to be asking Canelo a lot of questions about Ryder. Mm-hmm. All the questions are going to be about Benavidez at the press conferences, weigh in, all that. The whole fight week is going to be one big lead up to a Benavidez fight in September, which could make the fight even bigger. But expect that. That's the new fight now. That's the new fight that fans are going to rally around. That's the fight that media should be pushing for. That's the big one. Hopefully we get it in September. As for the rest of the card, really fun. Four fights. We came into this
good card top to bottom.
Yeah, it really was a fun fight, fun night. Sometimes these undercards drag on and you're looking at the clock, you're looking at the rounds, like, let's just get to the main event. But I was pretty into all these fights. Cody Crawley defeated Abel Ramos. Interesting moment in this fight, Chris. I want to get your thoughts on it. I believe Cody Crawley won flat out, and I think a lot would be in agreement there. 11th round, Cody Crawley gets rocked with a shot, and it looked like his glove hit the canvas. Mm-hmm. Referee calls it a knockdown. So that was a big part of the fight because Crawley thought was in control. So the 12th round start, hit the bell for the 12th round, and then they stop. They take a pause. I'm like, what the heck's going on? Look over. They go to the replay. So I think the commission looked at it and saw that his glove did not touch the ground. So therefore, it's not a 10-8 round, and I guess the judges had to adjust their cards. That was one instance of replay working out. but yeah. I got some pushback on Twitter where it was like, wait a second, that's not fair to Ramos because he had Frawley hurt. He could have only time in the fight where he had any momentum. They stopped the fight for the 10 seconds where Frawley can recuperate. And then they had also stopped in the 12th round, any momentum there. What do you stand on that scenario right there?
I like the idea of using replays, but it should not affect the fight. It should not affect the flow. Yeah, it should not affect the action. It should not affect the flow of the fight. As a fighter, I was always a rhythm guy. You can't break a rhythm in a round. You can't do that. So I don't like that at all.
Got it right though.
I know, but.
Well, how do you not? I know. I agree with you with the rhythm. How do you not like? In the moment, the ref called it a knockdown. So you either leave it at that, I don't know what you do because you can't go back and take away the 10 seconds, 15 seconds that Crawley got to recover.
Exactly. So the rhythm break is my problem. Don't give the point back. The point should have stayed off. I don't like the idea because the rhythm was broken for the quote unquote knockdown, which wasn't a knockdown. A lot of times, guys, listen, I've taken a knee in fights before and it's helped me. Knockdowns can break the action and you're basically giving a point away so you can survive. It's like, okay, boom, I'm going to stay down. This fight ends. If I get hit again, let me take a knee and get my wits about me and then get back up. So you're giving up that point by going down. So Crowley didn't go down, but it cut the action in terms of how much pressure that Abel was able to put on. Cause Abel, we've seen him finish fights that way. He's lost an entire round, whole entire fight, and then come to knock the guy out in the last round. He did that with Perella. I don't like that. Don't put the point back.
Yeah, so they got it right, which is like the main thing. See in other sports, like when they use replay, get it right, but it's different in boxing. Like we always call for a replay. I mean, you're like, how come boxing doesn't have replay? Get with the times, but it's a little more nuanced than there are advantages for some that you would think would be the other way around. So Crawley gets the win. He is now like number one contender at WBC. I don't know if he beats any of the top guys because he just lacks that power, but man, he's relentless in there. That fight was fought like 98%, like nose to nose in a phone booth. I like watching Crawley fight. I think he's a fan favorite too. Had an awesome post-fight speech talking about depression and I don't know, some of the battles that he has had. He is now a fan favorite. Let's see what else happened there. Chris Colbert upsets Jose Valenzuela. This was the big surprise of the night. Colbert picks up the win over Venezuela. He was down in the first round. I thought there was multiple times in the first four rounds where Valenzuela could have got him out of there. He didn't. Two fighters that have a lot of inconsistencies, and you saw that on display, Venezuela not putting Colbert away. Colbert getting knocked down early and just not having enough power. Speaking of power, Valenzuela outlanded Colbert in the power department, 117-77, still did not get the win. This was a shocker. I was shocked when I heard those scorecards.
It's tough to land that many power punches and score a knockdown and not get a win. I need to go back and watch the fight again and really score it properly. Yeah. Because there's a lot of nuances in boxing that sometimes when you're watching a fight like that, especially with a guy like Chris Colbert, who's a fantastic boxer, you miss a lot of the subtleties that a good boxer like that's doing, and you see how they win rounds. I need to go back and really watch with a magnifying glass and score that fight properly, because I was just really watching it to have fun. And it was a good, fun fight. But that's tough. I mean, it's a tough situation for Valenzuela. I mean, he had a good performance, but like you said, inconsistent, didn't put the pedal to the metal the way he should have at times. He got hurt a few times too, to the body, especially by Colbert. I mean, it's just tough. That was a tough fight in general, matching those two guys up, because I think they're both very good. And I think they're both have a life in this sport and this division. So if somebody's got to lose, and I don't know, and it almost seems like they both lost last night. So
yeah,
it's almost like a rematch has to happen.
I think a rematch, this is like dead set. I think it'll be a rematch. It was definitely a pro Benavidez crowd. So therefore it was a pro Valenzuela crowd that both trained in the same camps. And after the fight, Jim Gray, like, this was such a strange moment from Jim Gray. He's interviewing Valenzuela, and at the end goes, "For what it's worth, I thought it was a horrible decision." And like, and Jim Gray was like, and then dropped the mic. Like, this guy for 30, 40 years, you know, always played it down the middle and was like the consummate professional. And then just had a moment where he just was like, da 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 da, and just said that. And the whole crowd went crazy. And they, you know, like, Valenzuela getting like an ovation as he's walking out of the ring with his hands up. Interesting. Weird fight. I didn't realize it was at 135. I don't think Colbert. I do think that he's a he'll have a long career if he wants. I don't know if it's at 135. There were some big hitters at 135. I thought 130 would have been a good spot for him, but you know, he hadn't fought in like almost a year and a half, and you know, he is only 25, 26, but I don't know about him at 135. Either guy, to be honest.
Yeah, either guy. That's correct. I know Chris gets heavy in between fights. You know, he's not a small guy, but yeah, I agree in terms of physical strength and power. 35's tough, man. Those guys are big hitters. And now we're looking at back-to-back fights where Colbert got dropped. Mm-hmm. So then it starts to think like, okay, well, is it his chin or is it that he's stepping up in class? And listen, everybody in the top 10 can punch. I mean, I don't care what their records are. Everybody can punch. Those people love saying like, oh, the guy, he doesn't have the knock because he can't punch. Okay. He's still a professional boxer who trains to punch. He can punch and yeah. You're the same size. So, yeah. So is it the chin or is it just the, now that he's at this level, and he can't really keep up with that, and especially moving up to 35. I mean, he got dropped by Garcia at 30, and Garcia has turned out to be a very good fighter. Valenzuela is a puncher
definitely a puncher.
And so, you know, there's that. And it was actually a beautiful counter left hook that he caught Colbert with in the first round. It was a beautiful shot.
Yeah.
And
he also had him rocked, like he had him hurt, like through the first four rounds. I thought there was like multiple spots where I was like, all right, this is it. Venezuela's going to lay it on and they're going to either stop it or there's going to be a knockout. So props to Colbert for fighting back and surviving, and not only surviving, but like
you know, fighting,
fighting and putting the winning rounds later in that fight. Like, it was a close fight. It wasn't like a robbery. I hate that word in boxing. Robbery. I always scream that. But like, this was a close fight, but I do think it was a Valenzuela, like 10 rounds? Yeah. A closer fight than what some had out there. I thought Venezuela won though. Jesus Ramos just steamrolled Joey Spencer. That was a glorified sparring match. That was the most one-sided fight on the card. Good gracious. Spencer, like we said, coming in, just was put in spots by the PBC where I feel like they were trying to make him something ultimately that he was not. And he had to get in there with someone of his own, you know, trajectory career-wise and see how good. I give him props for taking the fight. I give props for PBC making it. Jesus Ramos at 154 is a major player.
I was surprised this fight even got made. But yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. I mean, they're just different things. You know, they're in the same trajectory, but they're just of a different ilk, Spencer and Ramos. Ramos is really good.
He looked huge in there. The size difference was so, like, it was so, like, evident.
Yeah, so drastic, so evident, and just like, but also he's better in every way. Like and that's why the fight happened the way it happened. I mean, there was nothing for Spencer to do in that fight. There's nothing he could do, especially even stylistically. Like, you would have to outbox Ramos, and that's just not the way that Spencer fights or has fought. So yeah, I mean, that was the pretty much the foregone conclusion of that fight.
Yeah, he's a stud, Ramos. The way he puts together his punches, like, doesn't rush in there. Everything is precise. Everything is on point. I love the guy. I like to see him versus Fundora one day at 154.
I think we will see that probably sooner than later.
Good God.
That's a good fight.
That's a good one. Okay. Whatever. On ESPN, I feel like that fight got lost in the sauce. I mean, no one. It was a lot of eyeballs on this Showtime pay-per-view. But Sneez Estrada picks up a win in the main event. Jose Ramirez stops Richard Comey in 11 rounds. I'm going to be honest, didn't watch a single second of the fight, but it was how we thought it would play out. You know, Comey tough early on. They're going back. We did watch some of the highlights, going back and forth. But ultimately, yeah, Comey gets stopped. Ramirez gets in the win column. Will we see him in a title fight next? Who knows? Turned down two of them. But got paid $1 million for that fight. I see why he turned down these fights, because he was not going to make that fighting pro grade, which is nuts, which is boxing, the business of it is wild. But he got a win, and he's back, and we'll see if he gets one of these title contenders.
Yeah, and I think that fight actually proved a lot in terms of what's left with Ramirez and where he goes from here. Because, I mean, listen, we said going in what this fight was going to be, because Comey's just not big enough for 140, and Ramirez is a big 40 pounder coming down, and the only shot that Comey had was the one punch, you know, effect. And a guy can punch, but at 40, the power doesn't seem to be there, because he landed some nice right hands, really big shots over the top in the middle of combinations of. That's the thing. Remember, I said that last show. a guy like Ramirez, who's so busy with the lead hand, there's openings for the right hand. So he did run into a few of Comey, and that's by far his best punch, and took them really well. I think it showed the durability of Ramirez at 140. I think his chin is very solid. Not that it hasn't been. I mean, he did get dropped by Taylor twice, but otherwise, it's been a solid chin for his career, and it's still there. So that's a very good sign. But I mean, his finishing ability, his instincts, the body work, which is another thing that we said was going to be an issue for Comey, because he is susceptible to body work and body shots, and that's exactly what Ramirez is good at. So I'm not surprised that he actually got the stoppage. He's as tough as Richard is. Ramirez, I mean, he's a sustained puncher. Like, his attack is very top to bottom. He stays on you, and he puts head and body together really well. But yeah, ultimately getting the knockdown in the 11th, and then finishing him with a body shot in the 11th. Pretty awesome finish to a good fight and good performance. So A+ for Ramirez.
A+.
Well, not scoring wise, I wouldn't give an A+. But I'm saying just in terms of generally A+. Good job.
Aren't you a professor? Are you giving out some grades on this episode?
I am. I would give him an A- for that, because I don't like how he got hit so cleanly with some of those right hands. Although you get hit very, very clean. I mean, again, he's a Mexican, and he's tall and digs the body. A lot of openings for the head.
I don't know how to properly rate Ramirez anymore. He's had some great wins and some great performances, but also some uneven performances. I feel like he either fights up to his competition or he fights down to his competition. And obviously this one, he took out Comey, which he was supposed to do. But Prograis is a champ. Subiru Matias is a champ. Jack Catterall is in the mix. Teofimo Lopez and Josh Taylor will be fighting. Barboza, Jose Cepeda, who I feel like will not be in the top five for much longer. Gary Antoine Russell, Albert Puelo is fighting Rolly Romero. So there's a lot of names at 140. We'll see what Ramirez has left to offer, and if he can get those shots. Turning down title shots is interesting at his stage, but it was a business move. He fought in Fresno, sold out the arena, probably made an extra, who knows, six figures or less on the backside. With the gate, so we'll see at 140. Interesting division. That's it for our show. I got nothing left. We'll be back on Wednesday or Thursday with our Anthony Joshua, Jermaine Franklin preview. You'll be on the call, right?
Yes. I've been doing a bunch of interviews about Anthony Joshua in the lead up. Those will be coming out too. They're interviewing me about the Joshua fight. Nice. But yeah, I'll be on the call with Todd Grisham.
Yeah, it's a heavyweight title fight. Look at you.
Yeah, I mean, look at us. Second Joshua fight in a row. I called the Usyk rematch as well.
That was huge.
That was awesome. Did that with Mannix and our boy Corey Erdman. Erdman.
So it's you and Grisham. Wow, that's a scary combination.
Yeah, Miami, watch out. We're doing it remotely from Miami, so we're gonna be running the town.
South Beach, that is awesome, because they open the fight, it's an afternoon fight too, so
right,
like, you guys call the fight, you get there, it's a long day at work. I'm not saying it's an easy job. You get there early, a lot of preparation, call the fight, mm-hmm. but by like 8 or 9 p.m South Beach,
yeah, we're right in the heat of Miami.
So that's what we got to look forward to this week. The John Boy Media Boxing Combine. We got another episode later in the week, and then we have our fight preview episode coming out. So there's a lot to be watching over here on the Inside Boxing Live YouTube page. You have any final words, Chris?
No, just everybody tune in, man. We're gonna be rolling out content. Like, so I know we have a very loyal fan base, but we need to stay tuned, guys, because we got a bunch of stuff rolling out, and tell your friends, because we do kick ass at this.
Yes, I mean, we'll be in Vegas as well for Ryan. That's the next big one. Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis. Tank was in attendance. That's the big one. We'll be in Vegas for that one. As always, everybody, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up and stay out of the DM.